Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back, my favorite podcast family. My only podcast family, because you are my favorite. I would never do another podcast without you. Anyways, welcome to the Mission Accepted. If this is the first time that you are at our show, listening or watching our show, welcome. You are in for an absolute treat today. We are going to talk about something that people don't talk about a lot. And that's really about getting real in terms of what it's like to build, to continue to build. You know, you've heard it. You heard it in the intro. It's, you know, taking the mission. Some people were, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I need to do. Some people stepped into it because they had a generational family that did business. Some people were the black sheep and they're like, what are you doing? What do you mean you're going to be an entrepreneur? Some people got dragged in by their husbands, some their wives, some their partners, some let's do this together. There's all sorts of ways that people can decide to take the mission, whether profit, nonprofit, and all of the stuff. But you know what? I always talk about this. I always talk about it's one thing to take it. It's another thing to stick with it, right? And as you stick with it and you start to go from entrepreneur to ultrapreneur, right? Those people, they know my definition of an ultrapreneur. People are like, you're an ultrapreneur. And I'm like, it's just an entrepreneur that can't say no. That's really it. There's nothing more to it, right? It's like, oh, let's build that division. Oh, let's add on, you know, coaching. Oh, let's write a book. Oh, now I'm, it's those kind of things that keep it interesting. It's those kind of things that keep expanding you and growing you. But there is a part of it too, where it all has to come together. And some days it doesn't. So that's kind of what we talk about over here on Mission Accepted. So today, you know what, audience, you know, I always tell that you are something today, and today you're going to be real and it is going to be perfect. Our guest today, Jodell Jordan, she's going to tell a little bit of her story to kind of catch you up to speed. You probably already know her if you're in Canada. We are in Canada today shooting, and she is a Canadian gal, not only Canadian, but a BC sister as well. And chances are you have heard for sure of the restaurant that she's a major part of. And I'm going to let her talk about that. If you've ever rolled up the rim, roll up and get ready for today. This is going to be amazing. And we're going to talk a little bit about realism of entrepreneurship and kind of the story from beginning to glory. So Jodell, welcome to Mission Accepted today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what I love? I love that the world has become very collaborative, and I love that you don't know where that collaboration is going to go. So one of my good pals and Mission Accepted, you know her. She's a 262 sister. She's been on the stage. She's been in the book. You know, Joyce leaned out to me and she's like, I just had a feeling you should talk to this lady. I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean? Best intro ever. I just had a feeling. So Jodell, welcome to the show. But why don't you kind of let our audience in a little bit on, you know, what you do. You know, we've been talking a little bit about the stretch and being real in our businesses, and share your world of entrepreneurship a bit.
Yeah, sure. So my world, really, I'm third generation. So my grandpa came and opened the first restaurant on the island in 1986. And so, you know, my mom took over really quick after that. She was a single parent. I'm an only child. And so it was a lot of years where I slept on the flour bags in the back of the restaurants. I mean, those are the stories that a lot of the second and third generations kids have of this business, because those owners were really the founders that like rolled up their sleeves and had to get in there before the brand was big, before it is what it is today. And so, you know, that was my mentor. That's who I saw. That's what I saw hard work look like. And so when I came up through the business, now she was a tough lady. I had to, you know, I managed each restaurant, and then I was the general manager. I opened up my own company, and then I was able to buy a few and finally took over the whole business. And, you know, it was good that it was never rushed for me. It was very hard earned. And once I had the restaurants and I was running them myself, and you know, my mom's out of the picture now. I realized like I didn't have to keep running things that the way that they were being run, and I didn't have to do it the way that she was doing it because she grew up in a very different environment than what I had in front of me. I had more resources, I had more tools at my disposal. Just because I didn't go to university for business didn't mean I couldn't still learn, I couldn't still grow my skill set. And so I became really curious, and there was this moment in time. Do you want me to keep sharing?
Yeah, absolutely. Go
Okay.
with it. Yeah.
So there was this
You'll
like
have to
mo
tell people what restaurant you're talking about
Oh,
eventually,
this is
but
Tim Hortons.
you didn't get the roll up to
Oh,
rim.
yeah.
You know, we've got people from Ireland going, I roll up to win. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, Tim Hortons.
Yes, Tim Hortons. Yeah, it's the number one QSR in Canada. So it's a big deal in Canada. But it wasn't that way in the beginning. That's what makes the story so interesting for me to like see it evolve, because it just wasn't what it is today. And it was kind of like your neighborhood Cheers, but like coffee shop form of Cheers. They had like bar seating and everything. So yeah, so it was in this moment. I was in this meeting with a couple of the leadership team, and my portfolio doesn't have a drive-through, which is like almost unheard of across the chain to not have one. And so I was sitting in this meeting, and it's hard to get them on the island. And one had come up close to me, and it didn't get offered to me. They knew that I wanted it, and I actually didn't even know it was up for sale until the deal was done. And it, like in that moment, this like cold wash came over me, and I was sitting there, and I was like, oh my, like I need to be different. I need to have a voice in this business. I didn't even know I needed to have a voice. I was completely, I had grown up in a world where kind of the opportunities for more restaurants fell in your lap. And now I'm realizing that this is not how it works anymore. And if I want to grow and I want to push myself, like I need to start stepping up. So the very first thing I did was went to YouTube and I Googled how to be a better boss. And that just like launched me on this trajectory of like finding my voice and like sharing my story, going back east to the leadership team and like telling them all the great things I was doing in my restaurants, why they would want me as one of their partners to own more restaurants, especially a drive-through, and like, so why I deserved it, but why they would want to partner with me. And instead of just asking them for the opportunity, I started showing them all the great things I was doing and started like celebrating and sharing my successes, which is also their successes. So it was amazing. There's a few more steps along the way that I took to get to where I am today, but yeah, it's been amazing. And thank goodness that happened, or else I never would have pushed myself or grown. I would have just stayed how and where I was.
I mean, the world talks about that, you know, the things that you're grateful for later, the
Yeah.
things that happen that you're grateful for later, or show a hole. And look, we're talking about, I mean, this conversation really truly is like an entrepreneur conversation where you start to really build. And as you start to really build, as you start to get wiser, even in curating and perfecting one company, right, can be
Yeah.
fine. You're going to get pushed at some point to learn something new. If by nature the being of an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur is by nature curious, is by nature creative, is by nature pushing for more, whatever that means, whatever that means. And so you will find, you know, I notice, I know for us, we're in a major growth, right? We're in a major growth. And there's nothing, I was telling myself yesterday, probably, I think it was 1 o'clock this morning, there is nothing like growth to show you your holes, right? Some of those things that you need, that you're like, oh, I don't need one person on my sales team, I need three people on my sales team. Oh, you know, let's get someone in operations to tweak up some of the tweak. And honestly, those are that's just expected progress and process, right? Let's talk about what it's like on the inside. You know, as someone, I mean, you've come from a multi-generational business. Many people like myself, it was, ooh, you know, it came as an epiphany. But I don't think that there's anyone that I've met that hasn't expanded, that has had to go through some things. One of the things that I was having a conversation about with a woman this morning was some of the tough stuff that she was going through around, she was going to a new level, and there was some people around her, I think, that she thought would support her and has not stepped up. And I'm like, that can be, those kind of things. I don't know if you've experienced anything where you've had to kind of grab a hold of yourself and take yourself to that next level, if you know what I mean.
Yep, absolutely. The two big things come to mind. So the first one was about 10 years ago. I or probably closer to 13 years ago now. I had decided that I didn't want to be in the family business, and so I gave my mom a year notice. I was like, "That's it. I don't. This isn't for me. I don't want to have this kind of relationship anymore." And yeah, I didn't want to do it. I wanted to do anything else. And it was about 11 months in that I was sitting at my daughter's like recital for Thanksgiving, a little like elementary school recital. And I looked around and it was a handful of grandparents, but no parents were there. And I just like realized that this is what I was giving up. I was giving up in that moment, like it was going to be a quality of life and being able to like watch my kids grow up and have that flexibility. And so I decided that then I was like, okay, I'm all in, like 100%. And as soon as I decided that, that's also when I started getting more curious about the business and wanting to be better in the business. And like being committed all of a sudden like fired me up like nothing else. I didn't expect it. And so as I was, going down this path and learning things and YouTubing how to be a better boss, I had come across something that I'd never heard of. It's so simple, but it was life-changing, and it was one-on-one meetings. And like not growing up in the corporate world, being around business people, I'd never even heard of them. And so when I stumbled across them, I had no preconceived ideas on what they should look like or what they should be. So I just made it my own. And what like I was so dedicated to my managers to show up for them every single week at the same time. I never canceled a meeting and I let them talk. I didn't even ask them a question. I just said, okay, here's our one-on-one meeting. Go ahead. And whatever they wanted to talk about for the first 15 minutes, I zipped it. I did not say anything. And the world that opened up in front of me and the opportunities, like it just changed the whole entire dynamic of my restaurants so that I was able to scale at a much faster rate. When new restaurants came in, I just like it was unbelievable. One of the things that one of the managers shared with me was he really struggled with imposter syndrome. And I could not understand it. I was like, how is this even possible? Like, you're a manager. And not realizing all these years I'd been struggling with imposter syndrome and not knowing the name of it. I didn't understand that that's what I was feeling. I'd always walk around saying, like, God, I still feel like the owner's kid. I thought after I was an owner and had my own restaurants, my own business, that would go away. And it didn't. I still felt like I was the owner's kid. I had so much anxiety in the meetings. I felt like I didn't belong. And when I finally realized that it was imposter syndrome and I put a name to it, oh my gosh, like it just I was able to work past it and like do the things I need to do to get over it. And now I look forward to feeling imposter syndrome because that tells me I'm doing something new. I'm uncomfortable. I'm growing. So like something that I feared my whole life feeling, now I'm look forward to that feeling. So
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think that, I live in the world of speakers. We have, I don't know, we've had like 500 speakers on the stage in the last couple of years. And people come in at all different levels of speaking and walking people through that, I call it the should, right? Well, if I have a book, I should be able to speak. I go, what, like a TEDx speak? Like you should be able to, like, okay, first time up. And it's interesting. Kind of when you know some things, or when you've been in something for a while, or even if it's your story, or even if it's something that you do every single day, all of a sudden, I'm in a certain. You could do something every single day. You could be super confident right now. To you, Jodelle, super confident. Me, I've done a few things in my life. We've both gotten awards on our walls, like all the things. You put us in a different environment, and all of a sudden, even with the success we have today. If we're putting ourselves in an environment where we are the bottom of that environment, one or two in a room full, we do a lot of stuff with celebrities. I certainly don't feel that now, but in the beginning, and that's one of the things that I walk our women through before we go to the Emmys and the Oscars. We work for 3 months getting someone ready to walk in the door to be able to go, hey, yo, how's it going? But even no matter how far you go, depending when you can still feel whether it's imposter syndrome or an aspect of imposter syndrome, like I don't know what to say. I don't know if I'm good enough to sit at this table. You've got seven franchises, and I've got 20 awards on my desk. And we're like, I don't know.
Yeah, right?
Isn't it interesting? You
It
got to
is.
wonder where that stuff comes from.
Yeah, it was funny too because when I was starting to feel like there's something more and I wanted to do more, the thing that kept popping up was I don't want to be a big fish in a little pond. I want to be a little fish in a massive ocean. So that's where it started. I realized like my world was really small and I needed to start trying different things and start branching out and like yeah, just I needed to do more and be more. I couldn't just be stuck, you know?
Yeah, be stuck.
Yeah.
So scale.
Yes.
I'm versed with scale. I do a lot of work in the direct sales industry, where scale is, the word that is used every day.
Yeah.
When you're doing multiple businesses or multiple franchise or what have you, scaling. Why don't we talk a little bit about scaling? Because
Yeah, I
I
would love
think,
to.
yeah, let's talk
Yeah.
about scaling because some people are afraid to scale, thinking that I'm tired now. You think I'm tired now? You know what I mean? Like,
I
what's
know,
it
and
gonna look like
scaling
if
makes it easier.
I've got four staff. I need 24 staff. What is that gonna look like?
Yeah.
That's how have you been able to scale? And how have you been able to, more than that, manage the scale or make the scaling manageable? How about that?
Yeah. So I love this topic. I'm writing a book with my general manager, and we're going to be talking about scaling and the way we've been
Okay,
able to.
cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, scaling is it's interesting. You want to position yourself so that you're ready to scale before you're actually scaling. And so the best thing you can do is that when you have a problem, no matter how big, how small it is, you don't want to ever just put a band-aid on it. What that tells me is, first of all, is this just a one-off? Or is this a process that's broken? And if it is, what can I do to fix it? So one of the moves I did was I have this red flag phone call checklist. I have, and it's taken years to decide what goes on it, but I have a bunch of things. And what it does is every Friday I get my general manager to call each of the managers and go through this red flag phone call list. And if they're not doing one of the things on the list, they're not in trouble. But what it tells us is that they're struggling. They're struggling as a manager and they need more support. And so that will nip anything in the bud before it becomes a bigger issue or before they feel like they're drowning and then they just quit because they feel unsupported or not seen or whatever. So it's a way to keep our thumb on the heartbeat on the things that really matter and that say a lot more than just maybe they don't have their third schedule done. That tells me a lot more about them than they just didn't get their schedule done. They're disorganized, they feel overwhelmed, maybe they're short-staffed. Maybe they don't know how to talk to their staff. Like there's so much more that goes behind it. So if you can really look at each problem and peel it back and look at the bigger picture, I think zooming out is probably the easiest way to scale because you're making it so much easier to put all these processes in place before they actually become issues or become problems. Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing we've done is, or I've done is just put in a lot of processes and a lot of checkpoints. So that nothing falls by the wayside, and I don't forget to look at this thing because I'm looking at this thing.
No, that's really important. It's the time where it's the time in a business where you're like, oh, now I understand what an operations officer does. You're like, ooh, I love you.
Yeah.
Or, when you start to love systems, or when you start to beg for systems, or when you're like, and it can be, I love what you say, like you have a list. And that list is a list of indicators that there could be something down the road. And I think that's what when you start to scale. At a bit of a bigger arena, that it's either you or someone that you're working with that brings these things to your attention, and you have a window. You know
Yes.
by nature what your window is. And I had people say to me like, "Oh wow, you've owned seven companies, right?" And much like yourself, now I didn't own them all at the same time. Okay, they were very same mission, but a little bit varied. And people are like, "How do you do that?" I go, "Keep in mind, it's the same chief marketing officer.
Right.
It's just a different project, right? It's the same CFO, just two sets of books just kind of cost me a little more. You know what I mean? Like, it's two, and being able to build out that way, because a lot of people are building empires right now. And I say empires, I'm
Empire
like, they've
builders.
got the product, they've got the book, they've got the coaching, they've got, you know, something here. They've got an online, you know, my son online retail, they've got live, they've got, and there's these different aspects, and it starts to get a little bit on, you know, on empire. And people are now doing things like affiliate and joint ventures as true real revenue streams, right? So it starts to get, it can start to get, I think, from a what do you do for yourself in relationship to, I don't want to say how do you take care of your brain, but almost like how do, and I don't want to use the self word self-care because that sounds like, you know, I go to the spa once a month, but what do you do on the internal?
To fill up a different bucket.
Well, yeah, fill up a different bucket. But on the internal, like how do you do your mindset? How do you maneuver your roles outside of being a person that owns franchises? How do you know?
So for me, it really is filling up a different bucket. So I was super laser focused on the business. I ran for the advisory board. I didn't get it. I failed. That was a big story, but that really killed my imposter syndrome. I had to go and like shake hands with a bunch of, you know, other owners and really find my voice and find my place. In the beginning, January of 2024, I realized that I had given so much to this one bucket that I had, like, I needed to go and live some life. I needed to give some more. And so I did the Wheel of Life chart, actually, and I shaded in a bunch of different stuff, and I saw there was a few empty buckets. And so I finally took the plunge and I started my YouTube channel. I also got an agent, and I did some modeling. I did some background work. I walked a fashion, like a stage, you know, I
Yeah,
did a
like a
catwalk.
runway.
Lo and behold, I actually didn't like any of that stuff, which I always thought I was like a movie star at heart, but nope, I'm not. But the YouTube, I really fell in love with. And when I filled up that bucket, it opened up more opportunities. I got a speak, like I didn't even get a speaking opportunity. I was asked to MC the whole Empower Women Canada event. There was 250 women there. I'd never even spoken before in front of, like, you know, at a convention like that. And then I ended up MCing the whole event. So, and they did that because I sent them my video on failure. And that's what opened the door. And they said, we think you'd be a great fit. And so it's like, you know, you never know what you do today that will plant the seed to have a huge impact on your tomorrow. And filling up those other buckets, that is self-care for me. That is taking care of myself by educating myself and being interested in different areas of my life. I'm also a gamer. My husband and I, we game a couple nights a week for we rate like it's a big deal in the house. And yeah, you know, I'm writing a book with my general manager. I just opened up my coaching consulting business. I volunteer with Futurepreneur, so I'm a mentor. That's a way that I can give back as well. So lots of stuff going on, but it doesn't feel overwhelming because it's stuff that fills my buckets and makes me feel really good. And I'm learning and I keep growing and new opportunities come up.
Key point is one that you keep learning, but the other one was I love that you're like, I thought I wanted to do this, so I went and did something different and walked a runway and like, nope. Nope, check done. And those kind of things are, I always say, you know, we kind of had a saying when someone was feeling like they were at their max, we're like, okay, we're going to give you permission to one, take the complete, you know, completely take one day off and your next day back, go bowling. And what we meant by that is go bowling. For me, it's like the art gallery. For me, it's a movie that no one knows I went to. For me, it's like going and doing something different than you normally do. I have to find something different. Now everyone knows I go to the art gallery. They could probably find me there. Hey, I got this. I need this answer. You know what I mean? I'm like, no. I talk about it on too many shows. Yeah, Tuesday afternoon, you'll find me there. But doing something different, I think, is also really good for the soul. I think it's just really good for the soul. It reminds you that there's a world outside your world. There's a world outside the world, right? The one that we see ourselves in and the one we play ourselves in. So look, I'm going to kind of switch gears a little bit. You know, I mean, I think about 7 years, Tim Hortons, how many people have come and grabbed their favorite cruller, you know, their Long John, their happy face cookie for this charity or that charity. Do you have a story of being in the store or just do you have a store story?
A store story. So, Okay, this is, yeah, I do have one. This is one that I love sharing because it reminds me that people learn so differently, and it reminds me like to take a breath, to take a pause, and to really start at step one, because I tend to start at like step five. And so
Really?
I had this employee. He was a wonderful guy. It was my first time managing this one restaurant. I'm in my early 20s. And so we're at the sandwich station. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna teach you how to make a sandwich. And he's like, okay. So we're standing there, and I'm like, okay, like cut the bread. And literally, so it's a bun like this. And so he takes the knife and he cuts it down the middle. And I'm like, no, we're making a sandwich. Like I had to, right? Like it's the simplest story, but it just was so, in that moment, I realized like the way we speak to people and the way we're, we can't just assume that people understand what's up here, because I do have a hard time fulsomely speaking my thoughts. And so ha having done YouTube videos, I'm better at it, but I still leave a little bit of stuff unsaid. And so that's something I definitely need to work on. And I always remember that story. I always go back to him, and he probably never even knows that I think about that all the time. Yeah, and it's like so simple. The only other thing is honestly sleeping on the flour bags in the back. But we have a baker that used to work for us. His name's John. He loves this story. He still works for me, and he was like the grumpy baker in the back, and I was like terrified of him. But I would come in, and he would pick me up, and he'd put me on this big scale, and every day after school he would like weigh me, and it was like an old school, like with the big weights and everything, and it was like my favorite thing. But I would always tiptoe around the corner and look and see, because I was like so scared of this guy. And now, he works for me and we're great friends. And
Oh my gosh, I just got a flashback of, I mean, you've probably heard, there's a company in Vancouver that does very, very large cakes and a
okay.
whole bunch of them. And I used to manage, actually, before I became what I am now. Way before I became what I am now. And I remember we had one of those in the back too. And I remembered my grandmother intimidated everybody. For some reason, she didn't intimidate me. I mean, the whole family would just like tiptoe around her, and she'd bark, and I'd go, put it down, right? And I thought, okay, this is a grandma moment. I either walk up and just like, you're not going to intimidate me the very first time we have an interaction, or I'm sunk in the ship. So I was like, yo, da 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 da. And they're like, okay, da-da. And we set a different tone. But the grumpy baker in the back, they were a very grumpy baker in the back, and people were afraid of them too. Oh my gosh. So look, we're going
funny.
to be wrapping this show up. You've got lots going on. I can't wait for the book to be done. I'd love for you to, you're going to announce it, and we're going to support you on the 262.
Thank you.
But for anyone out there, particularly from a franchise standpoint, like, what would you say to somebody looking to build themselves a franchise empire like yourself? What do you look for now? I mean, you grew up in it, so there was all sorts of probably, it's a different world, different environment, different world 3 months ago. But what is it that you would say to someone to look for in a franchise that you think long term is a critical game changer?
So it's very interesting, because I actually wanted to do another business. So I went out and looked at a bunch of other franchises. And so it gave me, and I went through a bunch of discovery days, and it gave me a very clear picture. I do have a video on my YouTube channel about it. And it gave me a very clear picture on, you want to be talking to the franchisees. You want to know what they love about the business, and you want to know what they don't like about the business. All businesses go through their ups and downs. And it was really telling how the franchisees feel when they're in a downswing, and if they're committed, and if they stick through it. So, me being third generation, that's going to speak very highly of the brand and our love for the brand. We really feel like it's family. And so, that's what you want to hear when you're talking to franchisees, because yes, you're buying into the brand. Yes, you want to look at the numbers, but at the end of the day, there's no guarantee for success. It really is on the backs of all the owners that grew it over the years, and the children taking over and still wanting to push and grow. So it's a brand that has grown with me, with my family. Yes, I don't have a drive-through, but I was offered three at the end of that year, by the way. I did make a lot of noise, and I just wasn't the right fit. But yeah, it's a challenge. It's still a business, but yeah, I would say talk to the franchisees and really find the love for the brand. And if that's there, then you've got a good solid foundation.
All right. So we're going to shift the gear altogether. That's fantastic advice. Okay. This is probably the hardest question I'm going to ask you. People
Okay.
go, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe you asked me that." okay, here it is. You know what? Oh, everything's turned out fantastic. You know, you decide one day, not today, but one day maybe, to go on this incredible trip by yourself on a desert island. You're taking one suitcase with you, and in that suitcase, you have room for one album. What song, singer, or album are you taking with that you could not imagine not listening to for the rest of your days?
Oh, it's a toss-up between two. I would have to say it would have to be the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
Okay, there it is. There it is. All right. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today. All of your everything that's everything, you know, all the things that you're doing now will be in the show notes for sure. We have an incredible audience that shares and shares and shares and shares and shares. You are going to be all over our media for a very long time. We so appreciate. I'm just going to kind of talk to the audience for a few minutes. Now, look at here. What I'm going to talk to you about today is this incredible event that we got going on in Vancouver. Why? Because you're sitting with two BC girls today. So here's a big shout out. Get on a plane. I get them on all the time. I just got back from Ireland. This event is worth it. We are going to do an incredible talk about runway. That's what triggered me off. On August 9th, you are going to come to Vancouver, people, and you are going to have the time of your life. We're going to celebrate entrepreneurship at its finest. We have a collaboration between 262 and Ocean Baker, the young artist that did the cover of the book. There's going to be a fashion runway. There's going to be the YVR Shufflers. They are going to break out into a massive dance troupe. You heard it here first because we're not telling people, apparently. There's four awards. We have Brian Sebastian flying in from Hollywood and More. This guy has 750 million viewers on his show, bigger than Joe Rogan. Can you imagine? He's coming in. He has interviewed more celebrities than ET, and he's going to be on the ground interviewing. So make sure you get a VIP ticket. We have live music by Sarah Smith. Sarah Smith is another local, amazing, incredible singer. She just came back from all over Europe doing a James Taylor tour. If you like Melissa Etheridge and Janis Joplin, put them together and they had a baby, that would be Sarah. So they're going to rock it out. So we got live music. We have DJ, you know, we have a DJ coming all the way in that does, you know, spins for the NBA. It is going to be an incredible, incredible night. There's lots of things that I'm not mentioning. There's an art cave. Ooh, there's going to be all sorts of merchandise and things being dropped that night. Mostly it's going to be fun. It's going to be a celebration of some really cool things over in Canada. Vancouver to boot, August, absolutely gorgeous weather. Come on over, take yourself up for, oh, I don't know, go get yourself a nice coffee and
Ice
donut and go
cap.
for a nice, yeah, an ice cap and go for a nice drive up to Whistler or whatever. But we've got tickets. It will be a sellout. We want you there. We have incredible people playing and five photographers and multiple videographers. And it is the, and if you are in business and you are not there networking, that's a miss for sure. So if you're interested in that, you know where to reach us. It is not difficult. It's devdrummond.com. You've probably figured out my name by now. Just go to the site and that will go to us. Thank you so much for being with us, Joe Dell. As always, audience, we love you. We adore you. Please share the show. Do your thing. Do you. And until we see you next time, be well, stay groovy. Bye for now.